Atlantis is a subject we're going to study today. It is an extremely interesting subject since it tells us the story of our world on planet Earth. Our planet Earth has four human races prior to ours. The Aztec speaks of four suns which existed on Earth. The first race, the first human race, was the polar race. The second, the Hyperborean race. The third human race on Earth was that of Lemuria. And the fourth human race, precisely that of Atlantis. Talking about Atlantis will allow us to see how the history of a race happens, what the process is, and this will be the basis, the foundation for understanding the mission we have here as human beings, as men and women, as sparks, essences here on Earth. What's our mission? What is our goal? When we study the Borgia Codex, the marvelous codex of our ancestors, it is truly surprising. We have a human being carrying a celestial water on his shoulders, and it is named Atlanteotl. He looks a lot like the Greek Atlas, don't he? And we know well, Atlas. If we remove the ending Otl from Atlanteotl, we have the word Atlante, Atlantean. It is irrefutable proof of the existence of this continent and this race. It is not only a myth, as everyone can believe, but it is a humanity which really existed thousands of years ago and which had an extraordinary civilization. But this human race degenerated and was finally destroyed, as all races that degenerate are destroyed. They have no more use. They have no more yearnings for a spiritual evolution of development. They destroy themselves, or they are destroyed by natural phenomena. So we have this wonderful coincidence. Imagine an Aztec Atlanteotl with the Greek Atlas, which give us the root of the word Atlantis. Of course, there are many books that talk about Atlantis, many of them. Many of them are really fanciful, others are deliberately written to mislead us. Fortunately, there are serious researchers on this subject, and we can approach them to study this wonderful subject, this wonderful theme. Among them, there is Elliot Scott, who even left us some geographical maps, which show us what the geography of the planet was during the various catastrophes which shook the Earth. Terrestrial geography at the time of Lemuria and Atlantis, with these different geographical and geological changes. The mistress, the master, Elena Petronila Blavatsky, an initiate from Russian origin, in her monumental works like Isis Unveiled or The Secret Doctrine, tells us about this continent, how Atlantis was, how its history was, how the Atlanteans degenerated, how they began to worship their own bodies instead of turning to divinity, and constantly saying, "We are gods, we are kings." And that's when they lost then the use of their third eye. And this is confirmed by the anthropological documents of this great initiate. The Atlanteans lost their spiritual missions. The founder of these Gnostic studies, where you are right now, Master Samael Ambeor, gives us tremendous teachings on Atlantis, and this is the basis of this conference. We also, of course, have the German Dr. Arnold Krumheller, who left us a lot of information in his books about Atlantis. We can therefore trust all these researchers and get a good idea of what this was like. we also have philosophers like Plato, who was very respected, and whose teachings many people followed, and who in his writings put forward many theories, hypotheses, and reasonings, etc. Plato speaks to us in his writings precisely about this humanity, this human race. He even gives us the names of plants, as well as a lot of other information. A lawgiver from Athens called Solon met with priest of Sais, Sais being an ancient Egyptian city. During their conversations with him, those priests told him that where the seals now gathers, there were sheep which grazed, and where there are no fish, there were titans. This priest also told him about the existence of Atlantis, and that 9,000 years before the interview, there existed another humanity, but that periodically the humanities are destroyed by natural phenomena and then resurface. This is what they declared, this Egyptian sage to Solon. This is all really very interesting. There were also discoveries made by Dr. Sclayman, who had the great honor of discovering the ruins of Troy. All his contemporaries made fun of him because he was looking for the ancient city of Troy based on the classic book of Homer. Everyone made fun of him, but they stopped to do it when his wife adorned herself with the jewels of beautiful Helen of Troy that Dr. Sclayman found in the Priam's treasures among the lost city of Troy. He not only discovered one Troy, but he found seven. And based on the studies that were done there, he searched for the treasure of ancient King Priam. This is how he found the jewels of the beautiful Helen, but he also found coins on which were engraved using Phoenician characters which spoke verbatim of the king of Atlantis, Kronos. The king of Atlantis. Certain very similar currencies were found in Latin America, in Tiwanaku land, where we also found jars which were broken for scientific purposes, and in which we found coins inscribed issued in the temple with transparent walls. It is undeniable that it was the national treasury of Atlantis. All these testimonies make us think and show us that another humanity existed here on Earth. If it were otherwise, we would not be able to explain all these things, all these extraordinary constructions, ancient ruins, which have defied centuries and eras. If we go, for example, to Monte Albán, to Mitla, in Oaxaca, this region of Mexico, we will be able to see incredible monuments, as well as to be in Oaxaca, a very seismic region. There are constant earthquakes, but still those constructions remain. Those are really unbelievable. We also have the Stone of the Sun, the Stone of the Sun, the Aztec calendar. Over there, Tonatiuh is located in the center, and there are four squares, which form the symbol of the movement. And in these four squares, we can see the date when the previous races were destroyed. In the rectangle on the right, in the upper part, we see a tiger with four points. This is the date of the four jaguar, where the son of the first son were destroyed by jaguars who devoured them. The jaguar represents wisdom for the ancient Aztec priest. So that tells us that this human race, the polar race, the sons of the first son, were not degenerated. On the left, in the Hebrew part, we see the mass of the god Ehegadl, the god of the wind, and 4 points, which give us the date, according to the Aztecs, when the son of the second son, the Hyperborean race, as we call it here in Gnosis, were destroyed by very violent hurricanes. The word hurricane comes from the Nahuatl and Maya language, which means the divine breath, the very high divine, or God. This human race did not degenerate either. They embodied their divine spirit. Well, the third human race, the Lemurian, degenerated, and they were the fifth human race to degenerate, and was destroyed by the fire, by rain of fire and earthquakes, for 10,000 years. This is how the Lemurian race was destroyed. We're talking about millions of years ago. It was the fall of Eden, when we ate the forbidden fruit, when we ate that famous apple. And for 18 million years, we have been going downward. After the Lemurian race, Atlantis appeared. The quadrant, the square that we have on the drawing shows us the fourth sun, Atonatiuh, the son of water. This is what we say, this is what we are told on this Aztec calendar. It is truly incredible to see that throughout the whole world we are talking about this race, which was destroyed by a lot of water, by a great flood. This famous universal flood, which the Hebrews talk about and study a lot. Here in Mexico, for the Aztecs and the Mayas, we are also told about Bolonticu. We are also told about four catastrophes, and we are also told that a new Bolonticu, or a new catastrophe, is approaching, and that it will destroy this human race that exists right now on Earth. And we all are forming the sons of the fifth sun according to the Aztec calendar. The Mayans also affirm this. They call this race Atonatiuh. The Nahuatl terms from the Aztec language are very interesting. Atonatiuh. Atl is exactly the beginning of the word Atlantis. It comes from the word water. Atonatiuh means sun. The son of water, therefore. This is how Atlantis, the son of water, Atonatiuh, is represented by the Aztecs, and this human race was destroyed by the universal flood. This is what the different cultures of the world declare, and each culture gives it its personal color, the particular note, according to the symbols they are used to manage, they get to know in their environment. In accordance with their time, the place where they are developing. But in fact, all have similarities when it comes to the great catastrophe which occurred and which destroyed this human race prior to ours, because they degenerated by falling into the deadly sins. They devolved because they were corrupt and the race was destroyed. Very few were able to escape, and we are talking about all of this in this lecture. In the myth of Noah, we are told of a pair of animals who climbed into the ark. But this ark is actually a representation, a symbolic, because the word ark means or comes from arcane. And this arcana, this mystery, is the important representation here. Noah was a master, a messenger. He came to give the Atlanteans the secrets, the teachings, the process, the techniques to get out of that degeneration, to get out of this evolving evolution in which everyone found themselves in that time. This is what Noah came to do on Earth, and this Noah is the one who appears in many cultures. It's the same master, the same savior, the same messenger. Noah, among the Hebrews, comes from the construction Neo-Helio, which means the new sun. But he is also Shusadra, sisters among the Sumerians and the Babylonians. He is the Deucalion among the Greek in mythology. He is the Manu Vaidasvatas among the millennials, Hindus, and that is he appears in the Ramayana. The myths are the same in all cultures, and here in Mexico we find this couple who announced that there was going to be a huge flood because the Atlanteans had degenerated and that they had to build a boat with wood from a tree called Ahuehuete, and it was built here in Mexico. So the legend is the same. It was also Coxcox, or also called Tespi. We see it in the myths in Mexico and in the symbols. They arrived in this boat in the Culhuacan, on the hill of the Culhuacan. It was also among the north of Europe, Bergalner, Yao in China, Boxica in South America, Nomochmochaba in North America. It was the same symbol, the same representation. All of those names belong to the same master, to Noah, who gave the teachings, the knowledge. And it was not a small wood boat. Absolutely not. Unfortunately, we always want to interpret all these things in a very superficial way. Because nowadays, in this era in which we live, we have a degenerated mind. We no longer see things with the earth. We no longer possess intuition to understand what the masters wanted to teach us through all these symbols. No, we all interpret at the first degree, you know? The first thing we catch, you like that. We keep that idea or that theory, and that's all. My friends, we must understand things and see the spirit who gives life to all we said, the origin, the representation of each teaching. In the Aztec calendar, it is said that the jaguar devoured to raise the human race in this first son, or first human race, okay? But the jaguar came to devour them? Absolutely not. The jaguar represents wisdom, which means that they were devoured by wisdom, okay? So, the first human race, the sons of the first son, according to the Aztec calendar, they did not degenerate in any way. And that they did not go through the four ages through which human race normally go through. The golden age of Virgil, the poet of Mantua said, the four ages, the golden age, the silver age, the copper age, and the iron age, like spring, summer, fall, and winter, but for each human race. That's how it is. They, therefore, the first human race, did not degenerate and were devoured by wisdom. They were devoured by the jaguars, the tigers. So, you really have to try to understand all these symbols. Do you know what we mean when we say that we have to look inside to go further? The ark, it was not a simple boat, because in a boat you cannot fit any pair of dinosaurs or any pair of animals existing on Earth. No. Here we have a symbol of Kabbalah, the symbol of number, the meaning of number. Number codes which have the measurements of the ark, they must be added together, the length, width, and height, and this gives us the number 11, and by synthesizing them, that is to say, the number 11. One-on-one represents the man and woman. The key to this arc in marriage, in the couple, where the secrets to be saved are found, right? That is the secret teachings of the measurements of the Ark of Noah, the ancient Kabbalah. The secret is between man and woman, between 11, because 1 plus 1 is 2, marriage. And it is astonishing to see the terrible similarities that exist among the Mayans and the Egyptians. Let's see a little of that. A great ocean separates them. How is it possible that with so much distance separating these cultures, how is it possible that they have so many similarities among the Mayan and the Egyptians? How could the Mayans and the Egyptians have thought of making pyramids as temples in the same way? Let's see the main pyramids, that of Cheops, Mykerinos, which are located in Egypt. We also find a pyramid with stairs exactly identical to that of the Mayans. Why do we find such similarities? Well, because they have a common origin, you know. Mayan culture and Egyptian culture have the same common origin. And this common origin is found between the two, in the Atlantic Ocean, where the main Atlantean cities were. They were not only there, but the main ones were in lands now lost in the Atlantic, where the Atlantic Ocean is now. Atlantic is the origin of these wonderful cultures, and it is for this reason that they have so much knowledge and so much wisdom with so many similarities. The Mayans and the Egyptians therefore have a common origin, which is Atlantis. But we can go further. Let's go to Tibet. In the Temple of Lhasa, there is a Chaldean manuscript written 2000 years before Jesus Christ, which say this: when the Star of Baal fell, where now there is only sea and the sky, the Star of Baal alludes were in this Temple of Lhasa to a gigantic planet. It is 6 times larger than Jupiter, and Jupiter is 1300 times larger than Earth. This planet approaches periodically. This is approximately every 26,000 years, and it is found somewhere in the universe. It's a huge planet, an errant planet. Our scientists have now discovered some of them. We are next to this gigantic planet called Ercolobus, Barnard, or Star of Baal, or Wormwood, as it is called in the Apocalypse of Saint John. The Apocalypse, the Book of Revelations. In fact, this planet did not fall on Earth, but its electromagnetic force was huge, and when it was exerted where now there are only the sea and the sky, that is to say, the Atlantic Ocean, and where then existed the 7 main cities of Atlantis with its golden gates. And look how interesting it is. We see the same thing in Tiwanaku in South America. And these temples with transparent walls or transparent temples trembled and shivered like the leaves from a tree during a storm. And when fire and smoke rose from the palaces, the agonizing cries of the multitude filled the air, seeking refuge in their temples and the citadels. And the sage Mu, the priest of Ramu, presented himself and said to them, "Did I not predict all of this to you? Women and men covered with precious stone and jewels, dressed in sumptuous clothes, shouted, 'Mu, save us. And Mu replied, "You will die with your slaves and your riches, and from your ashes new nations will arise." And there the sage Mu prophesied, "If they, when speaking of or present of the next human race or present human race, if they forget that they must be superior, not because of what they acquire, but for what they give, they will have the same destiny than you." Do you realize the terrible accuracy of these writings? in the temple of Lhasa in Tibet. If they forget that they must be superior, not by what they acquire, but by what they give, they will have the same destiny. The flames and the smokes followed the words of the sage Mu, and the earth broke into pieces and submerged itself with its inhabitants in the depths in a few months. That is what this Chaldean inscription tells us in Eastern Tibet. The Mayans also gave us a very similar writing. We will try to compare what we find in Tibet and what the Mayans tells us. There is a collection of Mayan manuscripts which are in the British Museum, a collection called Le Plongeon. It is the name of the person who brought together all this Mayan information, and one can still find an inscription there in Maya who says, in the year 6 of Khan, on the 11th of Muluk, in the month Thurk, which are Mayan dates, of course, there were terrible earthquakes which continued without interruption until the 13th Xuan, the land of Mud Hills, the land of Mu. See the coincidence. It was sacrificed after two great tremors. It disappeared in the night, shaken by underground fires, which caused the air to sink into the ocean and reappear several times in different places. And at the end, the surface gave way and the country separated and disappeared. They all sunk. 64 million inhabitants, and this 8,000 years before it was written, this book. This is very interesting, don't you think? If we think carefully about these two writings, one Chaldean in the temple of Lhasa in Tibet and the other of Mayan origin, they tell the same Atlantean catastrophe. All over the world there are testimonies to this subject, where you believe this Atlantis existed, whether you believe this that Atlantis existed or not, these testimonies can be found around the world. It is very interesting to see the history of Atlantis and everything that happened. We will see its geography with the maps of Elliot Scott, who wrote a book entitled Atlantis. He shows us what the world was like during the different eras when the Atlanteans existed. This is the first map of Atlantis that Elliot Scott shows us. It closely resembles certain maps found in the caves of the Himalayas, which were sheltered by certain Tibetan lamas. Here we have very interesting maps. We see in red how the geography of Atlantis was, and in blue how that of the race prior to the Atlanteans was. You remember, right? You remember that the Atlanteans in red are forming the four human race, and the third human race is that of Lemuria in blue. Okay, as we can see, the old world was united. This is what we now call the southern part of Asia. The northern part of Asia did not exist yet. It was not in the surface. We see that India already existed and was called Perlandia by pearl seekers. There was also only the northern part of Africa. It was a very small continent called Gabonsi. At that time, many initiates of the African race, the Gabonsi race, made numerous great pilgrimages throughout Atlantis and arrived in Mexico. Because Mexico over there, back then, already existed, and they went as far as Yucatan in the Mayan zone or Teotihuacan, a place where men are transformed into gods. Right? These pilgrimages were spiritual pilgrimages and made by these black initiates who came from Gabonsi. So, yes, there were African initiates. black initiates from Gabonsi, the ancient Africa, which, let us remember, was only a small continent. With the disasters that shook the land, Gabonsi was transformed into the Africa continent we know today. As Gnostic, we do not adhere to the theory of Pangea, which states that there were one large earth, Pan, which means all, and Gaia, which means a single continent, which latter divided now. This theory is not correct for us, the Gnostic students. We tend to agree with all these changes which cause land to sink, land to emerge from the depths of the oceans, and which change the geography of the planet. These black initiates arrived in the Gulf of Mexico, which was then a very beautiful valley, and in Yucatan or Teotihuacan. These great spiritual expeditions that these masters, these black initiates carry out, are found in the culture called in Mexico the Olmec culture. And no one can explain those human features, very different to those races, those groups of peoples which existed in Mexico back then. They were very different from that depicted in those monumental heads that we find in Mexico, in some places close to the Atlantic Oceans, and that were created during the time of the Olmec culture. These statues represent heads that we see here in the Olmec culture, and those are gigantic, huge. They were cut and neat because the Atlanteans knew how to nick rocks, as we use cement today. But they were not as gross as us, as material, as materialistic. They gathered certain elements of the earth with plants and used the spiritual parts of the plants. The spiritual creatures living in plants are called elementals because they live in the elements. So back then they built rocks of very good quality. They assembled them in the best possible way. This is what we see with these gigantic Olmec heads. We can observe here in the photo a truly giant Olmec head. Observe the design of the leaves, the cheeks, characteristic of African people. The nose, of course, the eyes. Those belongs to a actual or modern African man. Here in Mexico, there are no physiognomic characteristics like that. Of course not. They were built in honor of this high initiate who came from Gabonsi, from the ancient Africa. This is all really very interesting. There were very famous cities in Asia called Asgard during the Atlantean time. That's what it was called in Atlantis. There was a city called Tikliamis and another called Marplace, which were located next to the current river Amudarya, which existed in Atlantis and which debouched to the sea and to the Caspian Sea. After the great catastrophes, the Amudarya River deviated a little in its narrowest part of the Asian continent and formed the small Aral Sea. All this comes from Atlantis, and as a testimony of what existed for thousands of years, there was a canal that reached the Caspian Sea, where nowadays there is no more water. There remains simple, diverted channel that formed the little Aral Sea. It was all part of Atlantis. So, the river that in ancient times got to the Caspian Sea is now derived and has formed the Aral Sea. There were, therefore, great catastrophes. The Atlantean race degenerated and was destroyed during several catastrophes. A catastrophe happened 800 Dozens years ago and changed the appearance of the land as Eliot Scott shows us here. Lands were submerged, others appeared, and the physiognomy of the earth was transformed. Africa became larger, as we can observe. Then there was a new catastrophe, and the last catastrophe that occurred was that of this piece of continent that Plato called Poseidonis in the Atlantic Ocean. You see, from there come many theories that Atlantis was an island, because in fact there remained only a very small continent, a small piece of land between American continent and European continent next to Africa. And this last piece of Atlantis sank into the sea approximately 12,000 years ago. It is for this reason that many people were mistaken into thinking that Atlantis was a small island, when it was a great continent. We, the Aryan race, have been around for about 1 million years here on Earth. But the Atlanteans lived longer than us, and the last piece of Atlantis, which with major cities, was destroyed barely 12,000 years ago, and it is the most talked about in the world. That is the origin of the Universal Flood, the legend, the myth of the Universal Flood. Today we know a little more about Atlantis. We can have all this information directly if we awaken our consciousness in the astral world, and if we ask to see Atlantis in the Akashic records of nature, we'll be able to see all of this. So, we can awaken our consciousness to be able to have lucid dreams, to be conscious in the astral world, which is a astral dimension, and over there exist the Akashic records, the Akashic archives. We can visit those archives and consult those that explain the history of Atlantis, so we can investigate by ourselves, right? Another important thing to say is that the Aryan race is not a concept that belongs to those group of German army, the Nazis. It's not a concept that belongs to them. It's a concept, very ancient concept, and it is the name of the current human race. So, every person living today belongs to the Aryan race, right? We, the Aryan race, the humanity, the entire humanity, are forming the Aryan race, are forming the race called the Sons of the Fifth Sun by the Aztec ancient priest, right? So the religion of the Atlanteans was mainly dedicated to the god Neptune, who was a master who personally existed among the Atlanteans. He instructed them, he taught them, he educated them, and gave them many, many teachings, and all the temples were dedicated to the god Neptune. Extraordinary sculptures were erected for these great masters. The gold was very common in this era of Atlantis. There were sculptures in solid gold of the best quality of the god Neptune, as we see with this sculpture pulled by glorious steeds, with all the rear of respectable court of 100 nereids, or water elementals. So, the god Neptune being in relation to the waters. This is what we can observe regarding the religion of the Atlanteans. As long as they worshipped the deity, the Atlanteans lived very well, but when they began to degenerate, as Master Blavatsky said, when they stopped worshipping the deity and began to make temples dedicated to their own bodies, and they began to declare, "We are gods, we are kings, they lost their faculties of clairvoyance, clairaudience, telepathy, intuition, etc. And we find ourselves in the same situation today. The gods and goddesses who appear in the Iliad and the Odyssey are in reality kings and queens of ancient Atlantis. And if we want to know more about Atlantis, we must read these books in which Homer comes to bring together an Atlantean story with interior esoteric subjects. These are very interesting books. You should read them, not superficially, but you should see the spirit that enlivens all these sacred texts. As a language, they had the language Batan. This language was really very beautiful, since it had 300 consonants and 51 vowels. And if anything, it's proof that we are degenerating. It is the loss of our language. There are many sounds that existed years ago, hundreds of years ago. Sounds, letters, in different cultures, in different countries, and they are disappearing. So that's the proof that we are degenerating, since our brain start to lose some capabilities. If we take, for example, a book from barely 100 or 500 years ago, there will be many words that we will not understand, even if it is a book from barely 100, 200, or 300 years ago. For example, many young students in England or in the United States are not able to fully understand the books of Shakespeare. And it is the same language, English. It is not. But we are losing the capabilities of understanding those words, those languages, being the same language, the same English. So we are losing capabilities, we are losing the capability of expressing more things. We are simplifying our words, we are simplifying our concepts. So that's a proof of the degeneration of a human race. If we took a book dating 500 years, we will understand almost anything, not even half of it, and yet it will be written in our language. Because many words are no longer in use. Many words are no longer in use today. So we are losing also the capability of speaking them. We're starting to lose those words, those parts of the language. So previously there were, for example, in Spanish, there were a clear difference between the Z, the S, and the C, since they produce is similar sound, like the nowadays, like the S. But in ancient books, in ancient the ancient languages, I'm sorry, in ancient 100 or 200 years ago, it was very clear that way they were pronounced in a different way. So we are losing more and more of our language, and don't be surprised that today we have barely 2,000 consonants and only 5 vowels. That is our reality. If we compare this with the Batan language that existed in Atlantis, then we have been losing a huge amount of capabilities. The Atlanteans could express what they felt in their souls, because they have this huge range of possibilities with 300 consonants and 51 vowels. For example, let's see this. If we say in English that we value our dog, that we cherish our dog, we say, I love my dog. I love my dog, my pet. If we tell our mother that we love her, we use the same word, I love you, mother. if we like a person, if a man is feels something for a woman, or a woman feels something for a man, if she or he is our partner, we say, I love you. We are using the same word. We are losing our languages more and more. So what's the difference in that, in cherishing, wanting, caring for our pet, or speaking about our mother, or speaking about our partner, or spouse? We are using the same word, you know? So we are losing capabilities to express ourselves. The Atlanteans had a wonderful language, which was correctly transmitted to the Mayans. The Mayan language is the cradle of all the language of the world, of the whole world. And if in reality we wanted to learn all the languages of the world, we could learn the Mayan languages, which will make it easier for us to learn, because from these Mayan languages come all the languages of the world. There are roots, for example, in Sanskrit, in the Phoenician languages, etc. Some of them is lost, of course, but we have been told that the Mayan language is the root of many of them. And the root of the Mayan languages is the Batan, the Atlantean language. When it comes to science, the Atlanteans have surpassed us. We think that we are the best, that we have very advanced medicine these days. And even if many people die, we are very happy with the advance of our medicine. There are gigantic epidemics, but we say that our medicine is great, is so advanced. We have made great medical advances, okay, that's a fact, but what is not correct is to be pretentious about something which ultimately it's not so grandiose. Atlantis had the advantage of having science conjoined with spirituality. Nowadays, the priests are on one side and the scientists are on the other, and it is rare to see a priest being a scientist. Scientists criticize priests, and priests criticize scientists. Or science and spirituality are totally separated nowadays. Whatever the religion of the priest, it remains separated from science. Science has divorced from religion and spirituality, separated from mysticism and magic. Among the Atlanteans, they were united. And thanks to this, they had enormous scientific advance. In Atlantis, there were robots. Today, we are very proud of our little robots, aren't we? But the robots in Atlantis were incredible, more advanced than ours, because they united once again, science to mysticism. So, they built robots by inserting into them an elemental of nature of a higher type. They knew that plants contained elemental creatures, that they were not inert, that they were very much alive, that the plants was only the physical body of innocent creatures that we have called in the past elves, gnomes, mermaids, sylphs, undines. We have many, many names for those special creatures living in plants, animals, and even minerals. The Atlanteans knew how to handle them and therefore inserted an elemental of a higher type into the robots. They were thus extraordinary robots. Not only could they help them with countless things in their practical lives, but these robots could also warn them of possible dangers to come. Why? Because the elementals, some families of elementals are specialized in some things. Some of them into friendship, some of them into ancient wisdom, some of them into predicting things. So, these robots accomplished a lot of things because instead of being robots only equipped with artificial intelligence, they had an elemental, a living elemental in them. So they were marvelous robots. In reality, it was them who built the pyramids. And as we said, the Atlanteans knew to walk the rock. And not only that, but they also had the capacity to levitate matter, to make so that the matter no longer weighs almost anything. This is how they were able to build the pyramids using small devices in their hands that they could hold. So they pressed a button and thus removed the weight of material, making it levitate. The pyramids were built by the wise men of the Akkadian society. This Akkadian society, during the time of Atlantis, was one of the best universities of Atlantis. It was this society, this knowledge, who creates the pyramids of Egypt. If we can put it that way, it was composed of extraordinary, it was made up of extraordinary scientists during the Atlantean times. The Sphinx was their sacred symbol, a characteristic symbol of this society, the Sphinx. So this Sphinx that we find among the Greeks and of course among the Egyptians comes from Atlantis. Since science and mysticism were not separate, they also possessed telepathic machines. They did not need to do great efforts studying because they had machines that telepathically sent them very valuable intellectual information. This is what the Atlanteans did. But of course they had a more prepared brain, right? A more prepared brain. A brain not so degenerated as the one we have today. After hundreds and hundreds of generations falling into many mistakes, many errors, many sins. Many Atlantean treasures are currently found in Asia, in the Gobi Desert, in the desert like the Tikliamis cities of Mara Place. Under the sands of this desert, there are many of these devices that we are talking about here, but unfortunately, they cannot access them because you can imagine. Imagine what we will do with these anti-gravitational devices. What do you think we will do? It's not hard to guess. We would immediately use them in wars. We certainly wouldn't use them to make houses for victims of natural disasters. No, the great powers of the world will use them in wage of war, in wars to come. So those wars will become even more terrible and disastrous than the one we know up today. These devices do exist and are therefore buried under the sands of the desert of Gobi. But they are obviously protected. No one can touch them. And if one day the wind were to discover some of them, and if anyone touch them, they will die immediately on the spot. That is the kind of protection those devices have, because there are intelligences that perfectly know what will happen to us if we can access those Atlantean devices, what we would do. So they keep us from them the same way that we keep our children away from dangerous devices. These places and devices are protected by elementals. They will not only be handed over to the next human race that will exist on Earth after ours, the sixth human race, since we are the fifth one. Remember that? Well, the sixth human race will be called Koradi, the karate race, and it will have all this in exchange only if they follow a righteous conduct. They will have all these wonderful advances that belong to the Atlanteans. The Atlanteans knew the nuclear energy. They used it for peace. Their temples with transparent walls were lit with atomic energy. The aeronautical and maritime vessels operated on atomic energy as well. They discovered atomic energy, not like us, thanks to uranium, plutonium, and all these radioactive elements, which caused so much harm. No, they were able to extract it from certain vegetable grains, and of course, mysticism and science were united. They could work wonders by this way. They named this atomic energy Brill and used it for peace, but this race degenerated and at the end they used it also for war. They made atomic explosion in antiquity, and this has been reported in all parts of the world. It is enough to simply read the Mahabharata, the sacred book of India, and which dates back thousands of years. We can read in certain verses, it was a projectile charged with all the force of the universe. Realize that this inscription says, which date back thousands of years, a projectile charged with all the force of the universe, and a column of incandescent fire, smoke and flames shining like 10,000 suns, rose in all its splendor. It was an unknown weapon, a flash of lightning iron, a gigantic messenger of death who reduced the entire race of Brishnis and Andakas to ashes. The corpses were so burned that they could not be recognized. So, dear friends, it is this not like seeing a reporter describing an atomic explosion? But this is the Mahabharata. We really get that impression, don't we? In the Gobi Desert that we were talking about, atomic explosion experiments were carried out with the intense heat that produced then caused the sun to transform into a sort of greenish glass. And in this Gobi Desert, in certain places, on large areas, we find traces of this glass, which have been present for thousands of years. Lots of evidence exists all over the world, and this is not the first time we have been wrong. We have done it in the past too. In Atlantis, opotherapy appeared in the same way as it appears today. That is to say, we apply glandular liquids, glandular juices to the sick person or the old one to cure them or to rejuvenate them. This is very fashionable these days. Animal opotherapy, the extraction of glandular juices from pigs, horses, and some other animals, and also from human beings to apply them to us. When our glands stop working, doctors inject us with hormones which give us temporary improvements. This was also done in Atlantis, but it was much more developed back then. Why? Because they succeed in applying glandular juices, but then they also manage to remove fluids from the chakras. In each plexus there is a chakra. They remove the psychic fluids from the chakras and apply them to themselves, and thus they could live much longer. They did hair transplant like we do today, which we are very proud of, but in addition, they also did brain transplant. They went that far. These were not a good idea, you know. It is better to return to our modern nature because she gives us everything we need. There is a solution, there is a remedy for our illnesses, but we have to be humble enough to look for them and to discover them. This is what we should do, to expand the field of studies and what the Egyptian, The Mayans, the Aztecs, the Incas led us to study all of that. They have very interesting formulas about health. At the time of Atlantis, not only was a human ovotherapy carried out, but there was something even more serious. In those times, there existed a queen named Katebet, the one of sad memories. This queen ordered human sacrifices of children and young people, and these sacrifices were dedicated to negative entities. They then took the corpses to underground laboratories where medical priests extracted the glandular juices as well as the hyperchemistry of the chakras. That is to say, the psychic fluids of the chakras, so that this queen could apply them to herself, which allowed her to live many centuries. So very beautiful, she seduced the kings and princes of Atlantis. Obviously, all this brought negative consequences, negative karma, and Atlantis was finally destroyed. So Atlantis degenerated and became anthropophagic, cannibalistic, because then the corpses, after the sacrifice, after taking them underground and extracted them the glandular fluids, the corpses were offered to the degraded Atlantean crowd, who devoured them. So the Atlanteans also did black magic. This black magic known in the Caribbean. The cannibals of Africa are the consequence of the degeneration of Atlantis. There is consequences of the degeneration all around the world. So the races therefore passed through four ages: the Iron Age, the Silver Age, the Copper Age, and the Iron Age. And Atlantis passed through these four stages. We ourselves go through these four stages. The Golden Age has passed. It was the age where yours and mine did not exist. There were no borders. Everything was for everyone. It was not, there was not wars. Anyone could help themselves in the neighbor's garden without the latter getting angry at all. During the Silver Age, there were spiritual principles also, but things started to becoming more and more materialistic. During the Copper Age, wars and borders began, and now we are in the Iron Age, in which there is the maximum degeneration. White becomes black. That is to say, good becomes bad. Black becomes white. That is to say, the bad things becomes the good things. That is the level of degeneration in which we are today. So, what happened to Atlantis back then is happening to us now. We can be appalled by everything that was happening in Atlantis. The Queen Katebet, the one of sad memories, horrified us. She, who made human sacrifices and had removed the hyperchemistry of the victims to remain beautiful. So she ordered to kill young children to extract them their hormones so she can keep living young for centuries. Then she ordered to throw the corpses to the crowd, and the crowd devoured them. That is horrible, isn't it? But remember, the concentration camps, the gas chambers, the wars, hangings, guillotines, hunger, contamination of seas, rivers, contamination of the oceans, the atmosphere, the exploitation of people, slavery, crime, violence, the extermination of animals, all of this leaves the Atlantean degeneration well behind. In reality, We are identical to them. We are in the ends of this Aryan race when it is not known. The day and the hour is not known but for the Father who is in the sky, said Master Jesus. So we have very little time left according to the generation we are seeing today. We seem to be saying to the Atlanteans, hey, move away. We are coming with our degeneration, with our even greater degeneration. We have reached, as far as we are concerned, degeneration to incredible levels. In science, we cannot match them, but in degeneration, oh my God, we leave them way back. We are more and more corrupt. Our devolution is more and more important. Now we can repeat the words of Sage Mu, the priest of Ramu. Did I not predict this to you? And then, all these women and men covered with jewels, precious stones, and sumptuous clothes, shouted, Mu, save us! And Mu replied, you will die with your slaves and all your wealth. And if they, the next humanity, if they forget that they must be superior, not because of what they acquire, but what they give, they will experience the same fate. So, as the axiom says, he who does not know the past is condemned to repeat it. So we are going through the same thing the Atlantis went through, and again, we must remember the knowledge, the wisdom, the arc, that can take us out of the state we find ourselves in today and put an end to this devolution, degeneration in which we find ourselves immersed, and thus make something better of our life. Dear friends, this was our lecture for today, Atlantis. There is a lot of information. In the books of Gnosis, we recommend, for example, the magazine The Wisdom of Being, number 24, and we recommend you to follow our course of Gnosis. There is a special lessons dedicated to this subject, the Atlantis, right? Dear friends, thank you so much for being with us. We are going to continue these lectures every Saturday at this same time during the day. Dear friends, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.